Hello.
Carol, how are you?
Much better, thank you.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
Hi, Carol. How are you feeling?
Much better.
Super.
I bet it feels good to have everything taken care of, huh?
Yeah, yes.
I need to change my name.
I changed your name.
That's not me. That's my daughter.
Good morning, everyone.
What's that?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Hey, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
I may have some leaves to let the dog out. Who's not happy with rain and
Hi, Linda.
hi, Barbara. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too. It is kind of icky out there.
Yeah, I did a giant run early this morning, so I just came back. So one of my few trips, but you know.
Was it busy?
No, going in the rain at seven is
Good.
not.
Morning,
I'm nervous
everybody.
about going in the store, but you know, it's like I had a prescription and needed a thing, so.
Morning. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. How was everybody this morning, besides possibly a little wet?
Good.
Yeah.
Yes, good, good, good.
Give anybody else another. Into a period of rain, huh?
That's good.
World needs cleaning.
That's true.
My backyard was like a mini lake last night from the bottom of the bottom of some hills. So it was tremendous, and my sump pump is running every was running every like 5 to 10 minutes. So
That's good. It's running.
yeah,
Right.
we bought a backup battery sump pump this past summer, so I'm glad we have it. We're really in the spring. Yeah, I'm glad it's running.
There are advantages to having no basement. Oh, it is lovely to see you all this morning. Let Phyllis get settled in. Good morning, Phyllis.
Morning.
So, we'll start with a little bit of sitting and just noticing where you are. So, I invite you to be comfortable where you are. We're gonna be talking about. I'll come back to it in a minute. No, I'll start there. So, as you know, we're in our 7 weeks leading up to the High Holy Days, and if you've been noticing each week, a different kind of counting up than the Omer, and we're actually looking at the mystical divine qualities of God and how we embody those, what those look like in human terms, because we're examining our own humanity in these weeks as we're considering the accounting of our own souls, doing teshuva, making amends, which we Judaism says we can do all the time, but as like a community, we're really focused on this right now. So the divine quality that is part of this mystical understanding of God that we're looking at this week as we move up from like what was closest to us as humanity to what is most divine, is the quality, is the sphira called yesod, which means foundation. So that is why I thought we would start with a little bit of just sitting and really like just examining our own foundation, where we are. So I invite you to either lower your gaze or close your eyes so you're not distracted by other things that might be around you. And begin by just letting yourself breathe. So you might have been holding your breath or worried or anxious, or your breathing may feel labored today. And so just notice that. Or your breathing may feel easy today, and notice that too. As we'll sit during these few moments to begin with, whatever you're feeling or noticing or experiencing, see if you can do that with the eye of a witness rather than sort of being pulled in by your experiences. Notice them. Don't judge them. Don't try and necessarily change them. Just notice that that's where you are right in this moment. That is what is present right now. And so really have a sense of what is supporting you physically in this moment. Where is your foundation? Where are you feeling your weight points of contact? What's helping you hold up? Is it the chair or the couch or an extra pillow? Is it the muscles? Notice how the muscles of your spine, your hips are working. Just sit with being in your physical foundation, like the base of a tree, not the roots. The roots were last week. We were thinking about the roots, but we're looking at like the foundation of a tree. And as you're sitting and breathing, just allow the breath to move freely. And if it is restricted, it's restricted on its own, not because you're restricting it. And let arise for you perhaps thoughts of what are some of the foundations in your life? What is foundation? What are foundational experiences? And just sort of like the steam that's probably rising up from the ground right now in our temperature change. You can just sort of see it waft up there. You notice it. Just let those experiences, whatever arises, and if nothing arises, that's okay. Don't go down the path of, oh, I can't think of anything. Just like, be with what arises. But I'm giving you a little guidance to sort of come back to in every moment. And if your thoughts sort of roam to other things, experience of the day, things you're worrying about, give a nod to those thoughts and see if then you can come back to just being in your breath.
Thank you.
So this week we're thinking about sitting with this experience of foundation, this what's seen as the base of the Jewish mystical tree, the next week. Next week I'll bring, I don't know if any of you have taken any of the other, some of the other classes, I'll bring a picture I'll put up of the Sfirah tree. So I think I did this a little, just another 20 seconds. So the, in the Middle Ages, Jewish mysticism really flourished in a lot of, in a lot of faith traditions. And a key idea that comes out of it is this idea that as God is primordial light and infinite light, that in order, the idea of creation was to make room for creation, God had to remove God's self from some piece of infinity in order to make space for creation. And the contraction of this light, of this infinite light to leave space for creation, ultimately bursts forth into creation, but it's covered in these husks and these shells. And the idea that we talk about tikkun olam, comes actually from the mystical idea of our work in the world is to literally do mitzvot that uncover these shells, these husks, these coverings, so that God's light can shine in the world. That's to repair the world. That's where that idea comes from. But this bursting of light sort of comes forth in emanations. And so the emanations that, any physics, right? So the closer the light source is stronger, and the further from the light source is more diminished. And so the idea of this light source was that this emanation from God is sort of in layers, and we Jews like trees, so we also, there's a sort of a diagram or imagination of it as a tree. And so the bottom parts of the tree are what are furthest from the divine source, closest to us in humanity, and then as you would ascend the tree or ascend into the light source, closer to divinity. And so our spiritual journey at this point in time, as we're ascending, we hope, toward Rosh Hashanah, toward Yom Kippur, toward our best selves on this journey of Teshuvah, we use this imagery to help us try and find our way on the journey. Like, what are we ascending to? Not just, it gives a framework and a context to our spiritual seeking and to our doing Teshuvah and our doing an accounting of our soul. So we began sort of at the roots of the tree last week in Malchut, and now we've moved to Yesod, sort of the base of the tree. But these are all divine qualities, and we're not God. And so the Hasidim came along and said, well, what does that mean in human terms? Like, the mystics reading the Zohar I've tried to study the Zohar for 17 years, and I still, like, I sit at the feet of my teacher, and it makes sense in the moment. It's like eating Chinese food, I think. Like, it makes sense in the moment, and then I lose it. But probably little bits maybe settle in. But the Hasidim come along and say, well, okay, but we're not God, so what does that mean? And they draw upon the Jewish character values, what we talk about as Musar, which got sort of a beginning reinvigoration with them, and then more so even in the later 18th, early 19th century, and said, what are those qualities, what would those be in us? So while we're thinking about sort of ascending this divine journey, but we have to think about what that means for us as humans. And so the midah, the Jewish character value that is associated with Yesod, is the midah of emet, of truth. And the way I would make that connection is that as God's quality of foundation, right, of Yesod, of rootedness, of anchoring us, the way we strive for that in our human experience is through, in fact, cultivating the experience of truth, the power to verify our convictions, our emotions, and action to achieve fulfillment in life. So when we practice, when we experience, when we think about truth, about exercising judgment, about sharing truth with others, that's foundational. That's foundational in relationships. And so it's a way that we can, in a mindfulness practice, embody a Jewish value that connects us to this divine journey. So the discernment of truth is a challenging midah. And for some of you who have done a little bit of exploring of Musar with me before, we've wrestled with this before. And there's different aspects that we look at of truth. When we're talking about our internal Jewish, like the character value of what is my spiritual work in terms of truth, it's not so much about facts. It's about how do I discern what is true for me, that I can see myself and then I can see others in a light that is with clarity. You know, the word truth is spelled Aleph Mem Tav in Hebrew. I've taught this before, and that's the whole alphabet. It's like truth is the whole thing, right? Aleph is the first letter, Tav is the last letter, Mem is the middle letter, Emet. It's the whole, truth is it. Truth is the foundation. And I think that's, for me, that's why I see the connection between truth and foundation. Mm-hmm. And when we think about Teshuvah, where we are right now in this time in the year, Teshuvah, repentance, we call it, but it's a turning, right? It's from the Hebrew word to turn, the turning from who we were to who we aspire to be. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, we need to cultivate the ability to see ourselves with truthful eyes, mm-hmm. even when that may be painful. We speak of our sins, chet or chataim. A chet it's also like the, what's the word? It's the target, right? It's like, so a chet is missing the target, mm-hmm. right? We're missing the mark, the things we have missed the mark on. And the most important step of, the most important place of truth in repentance is actually to learn from how we have erred. And we have made mistakes, right? So that when we're faced with the same circumstance, Maimonides teaches that's the most sincere repentance, is that when we're faced with the same circumstance, we wouldn't repeat that same mistake. And so that's our foundational, our experience, our connection to Yesod, the truthful foundation of our being. So in mindfulness, in using Musar to help us see ourselves, see our lives, be in this moment to see clearly so that we can act with greater clarity in the world. We have to look at what is true in our own lives, in our inner lives, right, inside of us. Sometimes we may experience negativity, difficult reactions, emotions, frustrations, blame, we punish ourselves for things, we push feelings away, like all of that stuff. So with mindfulness, we can actually stop to just be with all of that. The more we close down, the more we push things away, the more we stop the experiences that are happening, and that's what the truth is, what is arising in us. But the more we shut that off, the more it's going to keep at us. So we could instead, to see ourselves more clearly with truthful eyes, to sort of welcome all of that stuff as you would welcome a guest. Mm-hmm. Maybe not your mother, right? Well, I don't know, maybe your mother. But that you would welcome these things like with curiosity, with grace, with a little bit of distance even, right? These experiences that arise in us don't own us. They're a part, but they arise and they pass. And so in this kind of practice, we can allow ourselves to see them that way, to not be controlled by them, to not have an emotional experience of the emotional experience, right? Mm-hmm. To take away that level of judgment and to just be with what arises. Whatever experience, whatever image is coming up that causes distress, we can actually treat with kindness and compassion for ourselves so we can find a way back to a place of more balance and more foundation, a balanced foundation, right? That's where that truth comes in. you know, all of our experiences, our emotions, our ups, our downs are part of, they're part of who we are. And it's actually that balance that creates a solid foundation. It's being able to be present to all of that balance and not allow it to pull us over one way or the other, or just be seeking what feels good, because that's actually not the balance, right? We need the bigger solid foundation to fill all the spaces. So let me stop there for a moment. I'm just, you know, I do this. So any thoughts, questions, sit with that before I can keep talking, which I do. So I think about, like, how is it till now, how, if anybody wants to share, how do you discern in your lives up till now what is real or true for you in the moment? And how often do you stop to do that? Or is that something you don't do? Then again, there's no judgment. Like, are you someone who stops to do that a lot, doesn't do that as much, sort of reflects before, reflects after? And actually, you can answer or not answer, but I'm sort of like raising that for us. Like, think for a moment. Where do you draw upon your, how do you draw upon your powers of discernment for what is real and true for you in the moment? And what's important to note about that for ourselves, is that, did somebody say something? Okay. Is that we have to be able to do that for ourselves, to then be able to see that in other people, right? If we're thinking about how we do teshuvah, how we repair brokenness in relationships, how we make amends for things we've done, we have to begin with seeing ourselves with truth, because that's the only way then we'll be able to have that truthful discernment in others, or take away the judgment, because if we don't let go of that judgment, it's very hard to do teshuva. It's very hard to make amends, because that gets in the way.
So it makes me think of, I'm a psychologist. Here's my office, in my bedroom, actually. But I kind of have to put away my own truth so I can hear other people's truths. Yeah. I have what to be doing? Able to reflect.
In your work or in your personal life as well?
I'm just curious. My work.
Well, and you're listening in a different way in your work, because yeah, I would think that you're trying to allow people for their own truth to arise.
Mm-hmm. And if I make space, I can feel what they're feeling.
But that translates beautifully into personal relationships too, right? If we can make space, if we take away that layer of judgment, then there's room to hear, to see differently. That wall of judgment that goes up for us when we're listening. And so part of the experience of emet, of truth, is to bring a curiosity to where that, what is underneath that judgment? What is underneath that reaction? And just like look at it, be with it, right? Not so you know, if we're in a relationship where there's, I'm trying to think of how I can best describe it. We're in a challenging relationship, and for me, this other person just like pushes my buttons. And so every time I interact with them, I can feel myself sort of shutting down, tensing up. So the work of foundation of truth for me would be to be able to sit with what underneath that is happening for me, without judging myself, without telling myself I'm a bad person or a good person, but to just see what's there. Truth is discernment. And to recognize then what's there for myself, because when I can see that with greater truth, and it might be painful what I see, but to just let that be can allow a shift in the relationship. And when we're striving for repair, we're striving for teshuva, we're striving for this wholeness, truth is often, being able to be present with truth is often the key to opening locked doors. And how do we do that without pushing someone away, without putting them down, without degrading them? Like, that's why I work with this midah with us in our spiritual work more about an inner truth. It's not about, there's a different discussion about external fact and how different people see the world, but what is it that is true for me in this moment? That's the essential quality of inner truth. From a deep sense of compassion, of connection with the world, of sacred opinions, and that constant attention to discernment, of not just holding something tight and saying, okay, that's it. But inner truth is not necessarily actually a fixed fact. Right? I think about it as different from the external world of fact. And, you know, this table is here. That's true. It's here. So there's a beautiful line in Psalms that I think I've taught before. In Psalm 85, it says, loving kindness and truth have met, righteousness and peace have kissed. And, you know, the qualities don't exist independently, right? The our spiritual life, the things that we are striving for, the ways we are paying attention, the presence we're bringing to each moment is not through just any one quality. They weave together. But loving kindness and truth meet, right? There's a balance, right? Truth has to be in a broader sense of both the purpose, our inner purpose, and in the way we live in the world. So in the prophet Zechariah, there's a beautiful line that talks also about this idea of discernment in truth. Speak truth with your neighbor, he teaches. Judge with truth, justice, and peace in your gates. So speak truth with your neighbor, judge, discern with truth, justice, and peace in your gates. So I would extend that to help us think about like how we apply that criteria, right? What's Zechariah's criteria? Truth, justice, and peace to discern what our inner voice is, our inner judge, right? Is it true? Right, judge with truth. Is it just with justice? And does it lead to shalom? Does it lead to peace and wholeness? Right, that's how Zechariah, I think, is defining what good judgment is, what discernment is for us. And I think in truthfulness, I even think we have to add an understanding or the mindfulness, the practice of understanding where our biases, our preconceptions, our judgments are. Our prejudgments are. Where are our blind spots? Like, how do we recognize our blind spots and our biases in that judgment? So as we think about this week, this idea of truth, of discernment, of that providing a foundation for us as we encounter the world in the crazy ways we are encountering the world these days, I found a beautiful meditation from a colleague that it connects all of this through this week's Torah portion, which is Parashat Re'eh in Deuteronomy. And there's a beautiful line in it that sort of echoes a few times in the book of Deuteronomy. We'll hear it again in another few weeks, a similar idea, but in chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "See, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." You might recognize those words and say, "I've heard them before," because they repeat again a few times, in, as I said, in the book. But this idea of, first of all, re'eh, see, right? See, it's not just like, look, see, I see the window, but Moses, God is calling to us to like see, and you have to see inside yourself. If I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, they're not tangible, right? So we're being called to open up to what is true. Where can we see the blessing? Can we see the curse? How are we going to act? How are we going to pay attention? How are we going to choose? So you can, I'll read this through. You can sit with your eyes open, lowered gaze, closed eyes, however you're comfortable. But this sort of journey through this verse, word by word. See. So how can we are called to open our eyes in a way, perhaps, that they have not been opened before? To see. To open your eyes to what is really here before you. Not to what was or what may be or how you wish things were. See, to open your eyes and to be present in this place. Open your eyes to joy, to wonderment, to boredom, to pain. Open your eyes and see. See, I set an intention to stay in this moment, to stay with my breath, to be present in my body. I set an intention to not let anger hijack me, to smile at strangers, to say thank you to everyone. I know I set an intention, and then I stray, and then I notice, and then I return to Shuva. I set another intention.
Hey, go and read the bottom of this thing. What does this mean?
I set before you. Before you.
Jump over.
It sounds so personal.
Share your name and address.
Doesn't it? But it's not. Let's not tell any stories about how this day is meant to unfold, about what should happen or how things should be. It sounds personal. It feels personal. But it's not. I set before you this day. This day? This day can sometimes feel like too much to process, too large a goal. Start small. Start here, in this moment, with this breath, just this breath, and then the next breath. I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Some say a blessing or a curse. depending upon how you understand what is happening to you in this moment. You can choose to see a blessing, or you can choose to see a curse. Some call this reframing. Some call this discernment. Some say a blessing and a curse. After all, there is nothing but God. Light and darkness have the same source. God is present in every moment, in the pleasant and the unpleasant, in the blessing and the curse. See, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. See, I set before you this moment. And in this moment, there is blessing. And in this moment, there is pain. And in this heart, there is the wisdom to discern, but not to judge. this journey that we take together each week, coming and going, perhaps considering this experience of discernment this week, seeing if you can even, it's hard to recognize when we're pulled, when all of our automatic reactions, but a practice, Carola said before, to just like stop and breathe for a minute, and Joanne has said that too, right? But like to see if we can catch ourselves, include myself in this, to see if we can catch ourselves in a moment of noticing even in and not just a bad moment, right? But just noticing in a moment to step back and practice it. Practice just seeing the blessing and the curse, seeing the wholeness of the moment. And just for that moment to just check in with ourselves, to do that bit of discernment, because sometimes that's part of the practicing, right? When we practice it in easier moments, then we can hopefully cultivate it enough so we can call upon it in harder moments. And to just step back without judgment, the first step is not judging ourselves, right? That voice of Zachariah, how do we judge? We think about truth, we think about justice, and we think about peace. But we don't think about blame, and we don't think about fault, and we don't think about, because that doesn't help us, especially when we're looking at ourselves, right? We do have to judge ourselves. We're doing a cheshbon hanefesh. We're doing an accounting of the soul, but we have to do it in a way that helps us move forward, not that drags us down, because then we won't be able to do the work. Then we'll just feel beaten down, right? So it's actually a really important time of year to think about truth, and not just, you know, it's not about not holding ourselves accountable. It's about how we hold ourselves accountable that helps us to move forward and not just feel stuck, not just feel broken, not just feel beaten down. And we're usually the best at beating ourselves down. So how can we take this idea, this experience of a foundational truth to see ourselves, so that we can continue in these weeks doing work of repair, repairing ourselves, repairing our relationships, trying to walk this path back to a place of greater wholeness, spiritual wholeness. Any thoughts or questions or challenges or struggles? I hope that as you look at each other, knowing that you share that journey also just is a little inspiring. We are not alone. Even at times we feel very alone right now. Every time I see any of you, all of you, I know we are not alone. Well, I wish you a safe, dry day. If you don't have animals to deal with outside, or that you have a place to dry off if you do. All right, everybody, have a great week. An early
Thank you, Shabbat. Susan.
And I'll see you soon.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.